Good morning. You've tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's Thursday, February 20th. I'm Jack Peterson and joined, as usual, by Jim Healy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing this morning?
I am fine.
Did you pedal in?
I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I know. Now I'm looking at the weather forecast, and I think maybe next week I will. We'll see.
Sort of dicey with a little bit of snow. You don't know what's underneath that snow. It could be pavement or it could be ice.
Yeah, it's not so much the atmospheric conditions are fine right now. It's the road conditions that are not favorable to a bicyclist like myself.
Okay.
We're also here with Hannah Combs from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hannah. And I think we just lost our caller. We were going to, we're also going to be joined by Sandy Compton via the telephone. Sandy, are you there? You're not there, are you, Sandy? No, he's not there.
Oh, that's Sandy.
I'll call him back. He probably had another call come in, another interview. We have much to talk about. We got Rob from the Panda is coming in a little later. We have questions for him about the lobby renovations, too.
Okay.
So hang on for that. Should I start? Should I get right into the weather report here?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, you can't see me with that screen there.
I cannot. let's see. We have a chance of snow, possibly mixing with rain after 11 a.m.
Now, when you say that, Jack, does that also, when you say rain, I'm assuming down here in the city, but up on the mountain as well?
Good question.
Because I would assume that would be snow up there.
I would also assume that, the snow level is goes up to 2,600 feet in the afternoon, which is higher than Sandpoint, but much lower than Schweitzer.
Than the mountain. The Schweitzer base. Yeah, okay. Just asking.
Looks like more snow up there for them. Today, the high down here, 36 degrees. Overnight low, 28. And it looks like that precipitation is clearing up. There is a 10% chance of patchy snow and patchy freezing fog. And tomorrow, rain and snow is likely, and again, patchy freezing fog. A high of 39 degrees. Rain and snow likely on Friday night. Patchy fog. Saturday.
But not freezing.
That's what it says. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's get used to that. Patchy freezing. Sounds like a country western singer.
Yeah.
And now, the latest song by Patchy Freezing.
The weekend, over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday, the highs are in the 40s. High of 43 degrees on Saturday and 46 degrees on Sunday. Unfortunately, from my perspective, it's also going to be raining. It looks like an 80% chance of rain and a 90% chance of rain Saturday and Sunday. And a rainy Saturday night. 100% chance of rain on Saturday night. Next week, kind of looking ahead, that rain continues and then starts to clear up on Wednesday, partly sunny and a high near 46 degrees.
Ooh, sunscreen time.
That's not so bad.
You're laughing, Hannah. No, not with 46. Is that too early for sunscreen?
I'm just not ready for sunscreen yet.
Okay.
I like the rain.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to say? How's Winter Carnival going for everybody? Have you been out in the carnival? The streets are just alive. The pageantry. The magic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And going to culminate this weekend with my favorite, the keg pull.
A rainy keg pull, it looks like.
Yeah. I personally wish we had enough snow for the snow sculpture contest they used to do at Winter Carnival.
Right.
Did they? I missed that.
I don't think it's happened for many years, but we have lots of photos at the museum of these like life size or bigger snow sculptures they would do all down First Avenue.
Oh, that'd be extremely
cool. Cowboys and mermaids and all kinds of stuff.
It was done on First Avenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That
just
means
on the sidewalk. Yeah.
a lot of snow here in town. I was thinking when you said snow sculpture, I thought up on the mountain.
Mm-mm, nope, right here in town.
Huh. Wow. Did you have? Could you take a ballpark guess at the last time that occurred?
Ooh, I don't know, but most of the photos we have are from the 80s, so it could have been a long time. Although I do love to see when businesses down here still make snowmen out on the sidewalk when we get snow.
Keeping up the tradition.
You could truck snow in. You know, you could do it. Yeah, they do it for the dog. Yeah, for the cake pull. I feel like there's enough.
But is it the same as natural falling? You know, when you truck it in, it's compacted. Yeah, or that sort of. I don't know. I don't.
Good point.
But I like the notion of trucking it in.
Could do ice sculptures.
Ooh, have they ever done ice sculptures?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd have to look that one up.
The historic Winter Carnival. Yes.
And it runs through this weekend. It will be done on the 23rd, I think.
And part of it, part of Winter Carnival, if now is an appropriate time, is something that the museum is putting on at the Panada Theater.
Yes.
And that's what brings you in this morning, Hannah.
Luckily, there will be something that's fun to do in the rain on Sunday, February 23rd, because you don't have to be outside.
Indoors.
Yeah. So on the afternoon of this coming Sunday, immediately following the Canine Keg Pull, the museum and the Panada Theater are presenting a showing of the film Sandpoint at the North End of the Long Bridge. And this is a film that was created in 2001 to help celebrate the centennial of Sandpoint becoming an official town. So I have a little bit of history here on how the film came to be, which is kind of an interesting story.
Okay.
So
I'm going to call, and Sandy Compton's name comes up in this, right?
Yes, definitely.
Is this a good time for me to call him?
Yeah, please call Sandy.
All right, we're going to give Sandy a call.
Part of the magic.
See if he's there. Okay.
Yeah, so back in 2001, this was going to be the centennial of Sandpoint's history. Back in 1901, it officially became a village and later became a proper city. But in 2001, they were celebrating the 100-year anniversary. And as planning was underway for that, Eric Darstead, who was a local cinematographer, award-winning, Oscar-winning cinematographer, who sadly we lost a couple of years ago, he was invited to participate in the preparations. And according to his book, Through the Lens of History, one of his longtime friends, Helen Newton, who had been the city clerk for Sandpoint, thought that a video of local history should be kind of a major part of the celebrations. So Eric was given the assignment to make this happen, and he was appointed to the Centennial Commission. So this was a group of people there were about a dozen people who were kind of putting together the celebrations for the anniversary. Funds for the film project came from the city and local organizations, and during the planning, Eric met Bob Gunter, who became a close friend. So Bob Gunter had been a volunteer at the museum for many, many years, and he had already kind of been working on this project of collecting oral histories of some of the old-timers around town. So an oral history is an audio recording where someone basically gets to tell their life story or tell memories that they have about their time. And for the museum, usually that's about their time living in Bonner County, because that's what we're collecting. So he'd been working on this project. And so he and Eric got together and they thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did a series of video interviews that could then be compiled into this film to celebrate the centennial anniversary. So the project took up about 2.5 years of their time, where they went out and they interviewed, I think they interviewed about 75 people. And so a lot of them were the children of people who were pioneers here in Bonner County in the early 1900s. So they had heard some of these family stories and things passed down and could tell these fun stories about their parents' lives here in the early days. But one thing that's cool about the film is that it covers the history of Sandpoint from the Ice Age, all the way up until 2001 when the film was made. So you see footage of the 4th of July parade in 2001, and then you go way back in time, and it kind of goes through the history of the town over thousands of years.
Wow. And I imagine the Historical Society, that you provided a lot of information, a lot of photographs, when is the earliest video, film of Sandpoint?
This is such a good question. You mean just in general in our collection?
In general, whether, you know, people walking down the street or when First Avenue was dirt or...
I think we have some video footage from maybe the 1930s.
Ooh.
I don't think we have anything earlier than that. You start to see a lot of it in the 50s, I would say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But prior to that, it's pretty rare. That being said, if anyone finds really old film in your attic that has information, has a video footage of Sandpoint, it doesn't even have to be that old. You know, if mm-hmm, you have... Mm-hmm. video footage of one of the winter carnivals from the 1980s or
Perfect.
Any of those big events or moments in time here from, you know, the 1800s up until today. Like, let us know, and we would love to see if it's something we should preserve.
I'm sure there is a listener out there who either has or knows someone who has some archival material.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get in touch?
Yeah, they can reach us at our phone number, which is 208-263-2344. Or they can stop by during our open hours. Right now we are on winter hours, so we're open Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 11 until 2. Or you could make a special appointment with us. So,
and I would imagine it doesn't have to necessarily be an occasion like winter carnival, but let's say a family picnic down at City Beach, you know, from 1940.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something mm-hmm. like that would, you know, fill out our history.
Exactly. Yeah, because there are the, you know, the big events and the politics and things that made the newspapers back in the day, but it's really the personal stories of families that have lived here that bring that heart to our history. So we love any personal family stories, and we're still recording oral histories today as well. So if you or your parent or grandparent wants to share some of their memories about growing up here, we would love to schedule an oral history interview with you too.
I think we are joined on the phone by Sandy Compton. Sandy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. All right, excellent. Hi, good morning, Sandy.
Got really quiet there for a while.
Yeah. well, we're good. Thanks for calling in. This is exciting. Where are we reaching you this morning, Sandy?
I'm sitting in my little home office near Heron, Montana. I'm looking out the window at some nice snow this morning. And so I'm about 35 miles east of you.
Okay. Well, not
in the great waving distance. Now. That's good.
Okay. well, thanks for calling in. I guess my question is where do you come in the story of this film, the movie? Where did the Sandpoint at the north end of the Long Bridge... what was your involvement in the creation of that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that some of the footage in the movie was video that was taken, probably 8mm, of a scrap drive during World War II. And I think that's the earliest piece of video that's in that film. But it was in color even. And then they had... some film of a dance at the community hall.
Featuring
Ross Hall's Big Ears and and Hazel, who was the most beautiful woman I think I've, one of the most beautiful women I ever met. Pretty interesting film, especially when you recognize the people, however briefly, you recognize somebody that you used to know or still know. And that's one of the cool things about this film. If you're going to come see it, you're going to see a 20-year younger version of yourself or other people that you know. It's pretty interesting. Watch it. I just watched it again the other night to kind of refresh my memory of it. My involvement started when Jenny Jensen approached me about writing the narration. It's not, I didn't really write the script. What I wrote was not a screenplay. It was more of a narration that connected all these various pieces, interviews with Barbara Blood and Francis Kaluuya and all the other people that Bob and Eric had already done. So basically what they did was they gave me a timeline, which I still have, which is pretty interesting. They gave me a timeline, and then they gave me a huge pile of paper that had these interviews what would you call it, transcribed.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to dig through all of that and put the pieces in order of time, and write transitions from one scene to the other. My part of the process took about 9 months. Jenny, I think, approached me sometime around September of whatever that year was. And then we finished up in Terry Cooper's studio, which used to be on Pine Street across from the big building that everybody remembers as a different school. And so we finished up there. I can't remember. I don't even remember exactly when we had the grand opening. I think it was in the fall, though. But it was sort of a interesting process because I had all of this different all these different voices to try to fit into the narration and keep it to 90 minutes. That's what they gave. And the film turned out to be 2 hours and 1 minute, I think.
Ooh.
We could not figure out how to not do that. It just would have left way too much out. But it was somewhat of a stressful program or stressful project because I had Eric leaning over one shoulder and Terry Cooper leaning over the other shoulder, doing what we called umming. I would write something and they would look at it on the screen and one of the other of them would go, and then they'd go, well, maybe you want to try this. And then I'd try that and they, oh, that's okay then. They actually paid me to do this, which I thought was pretty cool. And I think that probably that was that took up most of their budget. No, not really. But I also had the blessing of a broken ankle that winter, which cut down on my skiing remarkably.
And I
think probably that ankle is probably what really got me to finish the job by deadline.
Yeah. It'll keep you focused.
Well, Sandy, I have some exciting news. I just got confirmation yesterday afternoon that Terry Cooper is going to be able to join us on Sunday for the Q&A.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to anybody that's listening to this thing. If you lived in Sandpoint for more than 25 years, you owe it to yourself to come see this movie. You might see yourself. You're certainly going to see some of your friends. And you're also going to look at Sandpoint in a totally different era than we are in now. Mm. You know, 24 years ago, Sandpoint was not known as the most beautiful small town in America. It was Sandpoint, Idaho. And we were kind of still going through these growing pains. You'll notice in the flyover stuff that there's no bypass. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that the Edgewater is still the Edgewater. It's a pretty interesting retro look at Sandpoint. And then some of the stuff that's still going on is pretty interesting. The festival, Sandpoint, the Arts and Crafts Show, Pondere Arts Council, all of that stuff is featured in the and the Winter Carnival Parade, for that matter. all of that stuff is featured in this film, and it's interesting to me that most of it has survived for two decades plus, and like POAC is thriving. The Winter Carnival maybe is kind of it has suffered reduction in some ways, but in other ways it's grown. But it's going to be, I think, if you're interested in recent history, it'd be great to have to come and see that film.
I would add that for all of those same reasons, you should come see the film if you have not lived here for 25 years or more. As someone who has lived here for 10 years and kind of feels like an old timer now, I think that there's so much to be learned from this film about the people who came here before us and how all of their lives and their ambitions accumulated into the town that we live in today. So I think there's a lot of value to newcomers to see how this town that we live in today came to be.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We're on the phone with Sandy Compton, calling in from Montana. And also here in the studio is Hannah Combs, the executive director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. We're talking about a movie that they're putting on Sunday, called Sandpoint at the North End of the Long Bridge. It's a 2001 documentary that Sandy had a hand in creating.
And it's at 1 o'clock at the Panada Theater. Doors open at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So doors open at 12:30. We're co-presenting with the Panada. So we planned it so you can go to the Keg Pole, which is such a beloved community event, mm-hmm. and then head straight over to the Panada to see this remarkable film. Tickets are only $10, and they are free for kids under 12 years old. So bring the whole family, and we will get the show started at 1 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we'll take a break for a short intermission and then do the question and answer with Sandy and Terry Cooper. And then we will watch the second half of the film. And if that time frame is too long for you, because it is kind of a long film, you can choose to come to the first half or come in and watch the second half. But we encourage you not to miss the Q&A, because that's where you really get all the good stories on how the film was made.
Okay. Yes, don't miss the Q&A. It's a fundraiser for yourself and the Panada.
It is, yes.
Okay, yep. The museum and the Panada.
Shall we take a break here?
And, if you like, sure.
Sure, let's have a mm-hmm. music break, and then we can regroup. Mm-hmm. And there might be someone from the Panada outside who could join us, because we have a lot more to talk about Sandpoint at the north end of the Long Bridge.
Before we throw to that, I have to ask Jim Healy one question. Have you seen this movie, sir?
Yes, I have.
I haven't. Okay.
I've actually only watched enough to be able to produce this event, so I want to just save some surprises for myself.
Okay.
Excellent. That, again, is this Sunday, the 23rd at 1 o'clock at the Panada Theater. Doors open at 12:30, but now we're going to play a song that was recorded on this date, February 20th, 1964. We're going to Beach Boys. Put on your sunscreen. Don't worry, baby. That was the Beach Boys, a song that was recorded on this date in 1964, and they recorded it in response to, this is Brian Wilson's response to the Ronettes, Be My Baby.
Ah.
And if you listen to them side by side,
yeah,
they're very similar. And what I don't get is George Harrison gets nailed with My Sweet Lord by the Chiffons, He's So Fine, that I have a difficult time hearing He's So Fine in My Sweet Lord, but boy, can I hear Be My Baby.
Yeah. You're talking about he was sued by the record.
And the litigation went on into the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. But Don't Worry Baby has those guitars.
Yeah.
That nobody else sounds like that.
I don't know. Layered. So it's cool. Layered. Yeah. All of a sudden, we became populated in here.
It's busy in the studio. We have Sandy Compton still on the phone, I believe.
Hi, Sandy. Are you there? You still there?
I'm still here.
Sandy's still here. Okay, and we got Sean Boehm and Rob Talbot in from the Panada Theater, where there will be a showing of Sandpoint at the north end of the Long Bridge. Hannah Combs is here as well from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. I'm Jack. That's Jim. Let's play our game. The Panada comes into this. Have either of you guys seen this movie?
I have not seen it.
Like Hannah, I've seen about enough of it to put the event on. Again, I'm kind of excited to bring the family and watch it on Sunday.
I think it's going to be cool. Jim, you're not in it, are you? You were around.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely around.
Right. Yeah.
No, I moved here in July of 1999.
Okay.
I could have been.
Yeah,
check those parade scenes.
Yeah, we might see you in the crowd or something like that. But you were
July 1st, 1999. So, I would be in that one.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if I caught it though. That was 3 days later.
Yeah.
That's 1 o'clock this Sunday, the 23rd. Doors open at 12:30, and it's a film for everyone. Bring your grandparents, bring your kids, just bring your friends. It's worth seeing.
When's the last time that it was put on, that there was a big public showing of it? Do you know, Hannah?
Oh, no. You're like the 10th person who's asked me this, and I don't know. I know that the Geezer Forum over at the Senior Center showed it kind of to their group a couple of years ago, and I think that was the last time it has been seen. But as far as being seen at the Panada, I think it has been seen maybe twice since it came out, but I don't know which years those showings happened on. I think it's been at least 10 years, would be my guess.
Yeah. And was there anything historically significant about the actual premiere? Do you know anything? Like, who was there when it came out?
I'm guessing a lot of the people who were in the film were there.
Sandy's chiming in, too.
Oh, yeah, go for it, Sandy.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody was there. It was at the Panada, I'm guessing.
It was at the Panada. And it was like the world premiere. We were all dressed up in fancy clothes and bow ties. And I remember, and maybe I should save this for Sunday, but so Eric and I are standing out in the lobby by the concession stand, and I told him, Eric, the next time you want to make a film,
and this is in direct relationship to the umming that went on. I said, Eric, the next time you want to make a film and you want me to help, when you, the first two times you ask me, I'm going to tell you to go to hell. But I want you to ask me three times. And we both stood there and laughed really hard about that. Mm-hmm. But almost all of the people who were interviewed for the movie, some of them were not with us anymore, but those that were at the film. And, like, I don't know. The place was packed. I know that. And Eric got up and had some time to talk about the process. And don't know, can't remember. I think Bob Gunner was still with us then, so he would have been there. He was there, of course. But, I mean, the place was full of the people who were in the film and the people who knew the people that were in the film. So it was pretty busy.
Yeah. Worth mentioning for our listeners, too, Eric Darstad was, he wasn't just a local somebody. He was, I mean, he was an acclaimed documentary filmmaker. I think he had an Academy Award to his credit, and happened to live here and took on this project. So, but it had some pedigree, I guess you might say. Let's see. So that's the big event on Sunday. How can I ask how ticket sales are going? Does anybody know about that?
Well, I gotta be honest. I just came back in from vacation last night, so
who knows?
I haven't looked yet.
Okay,
I'm gonna say brisk. You probably should buy them today.
Get them while you can. Okay.
Yeah, before I left, yeah, it was doing pretty good. We still should have some available at the door, yeah, it should be a fun grouping and group of people and a good crowd. Like I said, like Hannah said earlier, swing over after the canine keg pull and come hang out and warm up. And yeah, I don't know how you can't call yourself really a local. I don't know that you can call yourself a local without seeing this and at least parts of it and understand a little more of the history and the culture. It's really one of those, you know, neat pieces of art that is uniquely Sandpoint. And as you mentioned, it's got real pedigree and it's done well. It's not just, you know, thrown together. And some people think it's okay. Like it's well done. Very entertaining. So, come check it out. Hang out with us.
Yeah. It's going to be cool to see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited now. Let's see. This is after the wet dog run. Because it does, I think 90% chance of rain is the current forecast for.
Well, you didn't have Sunday. To talk about it, Jack.
Come on. I know, but but it, no. What else are people going to do on a Sunday, rainy Sunday afternoon? Then go see this movie. It's perfect. You guys might sell you may sell some tickets to this one. I think.
I think so too, and like you said, it's a great opportunity to support two great organizations. So, you know, $10 isn't a whole lot. You know, family of four. Depending on the age of the kids, can come out for 10 or 20 bucks. So come out, grab some popcorn, soda, and come say hi and hang out with us.
Okay. Should we focus in on a few more events at the Historical Society, and then we'll switch over to Sean and Rob to talk about the Panada and upcoming events starting tonight and going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get through them quickly because they're all happening on the same day. We're having a big day over at the museum on Saturday, March 1st. So we are going to have Free First Saturday, which is our monthly free admission day at the museum. This month, it is thanks to our sponsor, Diane Brockway. Your admissions are covered, and we're going to open our doors from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. So come on in, check out the exhibits, bring the whole family. It will be a busy one because we also have our hands-on history program. So this is a newer program we're doing. I want to give a shout out to volunteer Carly Johansson. She has been doing such an awesome job with this education program. And so she and a team of volunteers will have three hands-on activities that kids can do at the museum. This month, we're going to be upstairs in our early years exhibit, so we'll be up there by the canoes. We'll be looking into the rock collection, the geology collection, and there will be lots of stuff that kids can touch and interact with and play with. So this is a great thing for kids, you know, maybe 11 and under, but honestly, as young as 2, there will be something for them to do and have fun with. We're also kind of excited, even though it'll be chaotic, we're going to be hosting a private event that day for the Bonner County Ladies Homestead Gathering. And so they're going to bring in a group of about 30 people, and we'll be doing a custom tour of our log cabin and our homestead exhibit, talking about what it was like to homestead in Bonner County over 100 years ago, talking about the Rural Electrification Act and how that impacted especially women's lives and changed how they were able to take care of the home. And we'll be sharing stories about some of the specific women who made it out here in the rugged landscape back then. So just wanted to give a shout out to them. And if you or your group are interested in a custom tour or a private event at the museum, you can reach out to us too. And we're happy to put something together for you. So,
and does the museum have a website?
We do. We actually have a new website that was redesigned for us a couple of months ago. So you can check everything out at BonnerCountyHistory.org.
Okay. And this these are events that are 1 week from this Saturday on March 1st. And if someone doesn't know where the location is.
Yeah, we are in Lakeview Park at the south end of Sandpoint at 611 South Ella Avenue. And if that is hard to find, you can keep an eye out for the big bright yellow caboose out in our lawn.
One question I had for you, Hannah. You said there, Diane Brockway is your sponsor this time. Mm-hmm. Are you actively looking for sponsors?
We are. We have 3 spots left for this year. Thanks awesome. For asking. Yeah, yeah, so it's only $250 for the month, but that covers everyone's admissions. It covers our staff time to be there and gives us a little bit of extra money for some of the supplies for those kids' activities.
That's a great program. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah.
Let's see. So everything's happening on March 1st, except for, of course, this big movie on coming up on this Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Panetta Theater. And speaking of the Panetta, Sean Boehm is the president or the chairman of the board.
Both.
Okay.
Oddly enough.
And Rob Talbot's the executive director. And let's talk about how your winter carnival is shaping up. What do you got going on this week?
Oh, busy. That's how it's shaping up. Mm-hmm. This is great. We're having a good time. Had a big crowd, from what I understand, on Tuesday night.
Pretty good.
Pretty good crowd.
Pretty good showing at the Little Live Radio Hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we got obviously a busy weekend. Next 4 days, we have something going on. We have the Sled Hill, Kinnexu Land Trust is presenting their Sled Hill movie premiere tonight. That's at 6 p.m. And then we have Spokane is Dead, which is a Grateful Dead cover band. We had a couple of those guys in here hanging out with us last week.
They were wonderful.
These are 6 of the top professional musicians out of Spokane that you're going to find. And they're dedicated to this. The first time I saw these guys play was actually at Jerry Fest or what was called Summerfest a couple years ago. And they just were amazing. So I'm excited to see them on the stage at the Panetta, and that is Friday, February 21st at 7:30. Doors open an hour ahead of time. And then we have on Saturday, we have in the Panetta Little Theater, we have the Low Bar Chorale, which is kind of a structured sing-along with popular rock songs. And it's the songs that you tend to sing in the shower or sing as you drive down the road. But these are musicians that are going to kind of teach you how to sing them a little bit better, maybe. They actually lead you.
Do you want to sing one for us, Rob?
I will wait until Saturday to when I'm muffled by other people. I don't know if anybody wants to hear that on the radio. And I'm excited for the structure of this and to be taught a little bit. But they're going to lead us in 3-part harmonies, etc. So. Should be a fun time. And if you haven't been in the Little Panetta Little Theater, This is a really good opportunity. This, and we have another show on March 6th with Madeline Hawthorne, which will be another great show. She's a really up-and-coming, rising artist out of Montana. So come by and hang out at the little Panda Little Theater and see that space. It's really a really fun spot. And then, of course, on Sunday, we got Sandpoint at the north end of the Long Bridge. That backs us into a busy week next week with the Wardens and a quickly selling out Gothard Sisters, as always, every time they come through. So Wardens on next Friday, the 28th, and then after you go by the free first Saturdays at the museum, then you can come over and hang out with the Gothard Sisters on the first.
The Wardens, that's a POAC production.
That is POAC.
I think POAC's coming in next, say, the 27th to talk about the performance.
I think you're right. Well, there. So you'll have a little preview next Thursday of what's coming up. Sean, you're in here, I suppose, to talk about some big changes at the Panada Theater. Yeah. Something's in the works.
Something's always in the works at the Panada, but the lobby selection, which has been a process with a lot of public input and community input, the board voted at the last community meeting last month, or I guess it was this month of February, to pursue two options. The predominantly in the survey of the community, the support was overwhelming for us using the Little Theater lobby as part of the Panda lobby, so expanding into that space. So that's one of the options we're looking at, basically design cost, what that entails, you know, what the process is going to be to put that together. The other option that was popular right behind that was taking the concession stands from where it currently sits on the north wall of the lobby and putting it against the theater wall, which is sort of replicating the look of the original, not the original Panada, but when they originally put the concession stands in, that's where they were, against that wall. So we're exploring those two options for financial viability. The long-term picture for the board at this point is that the little theater will become part of the Panada lobby. There's a whole process to get there. It's nothing that's being that's happening next week.
Mm-hmm.
The other big thing that came out of the meeting was on the south end of the building, there used to be a photography studio in there for years in the retail space. So if you walk up to the front door of the Panada, it's to the right. Right now it's an empty space. That's going to become a woman's restroom. So an expansion of or an addition to the existing women's restroom. First phase of that is the Panada is basically going to have two women's restrooms, the existing women's restroom and a new one in that space to add facilities for the ladies of Sandpoint who seem to always be waiting in line in the lobby of the Panada. So we're under an easement with the State Historical Preservation Office. So there's a lot of approvals that we have to go through to do anything in the lobby. But that was really where the results came after the months of feedback and you know, fighting, I would say, by some people to not change, to change. There was a lot of voices out there. And I feel the board did our best and did a good job at trying to put that all together and try to reflect what the community really wants with the space.
So what's been kind of approved, you know, that is going to happen is that the ladies' room expansion.
That was the one thing that unanimously be carried through the streets on people's shoulders if that happens. I didn't hear anybody negative against that. And on the front end of that, on that window that faces the street, we're going to leave that as part of like a shadow box exhibit so we can have historical stuff for the Panada, maybe up-and-coming things. Who knows what we're going to use it for, but it's not just going to be a blank wall that faces the street. It's going to be some kind of display. So
okay. As far as the future of the Little Theater, that's going to be a kind of years in the future plan, or, you know,
I would say a couple years at least, depending on what the budget. We're getting some preliminary budget numbers. We don't really have drawings to get actually construction bids yet. We're working with Bowdoin Architecture on that, and we have some generic numbers that are pretty large. We want to maintain the Little Theater as a viable space. So it's how do we maintain the Little Theater as its own entity where we can have this stuff that Rob's scheduling there, and Rob really sees a lot of potential for use of that space that it hasn't really been used, I think, properly in the past. And how do we use that space as well for extra space for the Panada lobby for those larger events? So, I have my own personal opinions about it, but I'm here speaking as the board. The board says we're going to use that as the lobby of the Panada. That's sort of the direction we're going. We'll see how that plays out in the long run based on finances and just how do we integrate that into the structure of the building.
Hannah, since you're here, not to put you on the spot, you're speaking as the voice of history. I mean, do you have any questions that you would add, does this make your eyebrows stand up at all when they say they're talking about, you know, the changes that are forecast at the Panada Theater?
Because it's
probably one of the most historically significant buildings in the area, I would think.
It is one of the historic anchors for sure, and. As you know, at the museum, we largely just help provide research for different buildings in town. But I recently served a term on the city's Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation Commission. So through that, I did get to learn quite a bit about historic preservation. And I would say it sounds like the Panada's in great hands working with the State Historic Preservation Office. One thing that I did not really know, I knew that SHPO is really involved when you are redoing the exterior facade of historic buildings. But it is really neat to know that they have the resources to support a project like this where they are renovating the interior of a historic building as well. So I think it's just really exciting that SHPO is able to provide that support to the Panada as they go through this process and give them guidance on what the best options are from, you know, that lens of preserving the historic character of the building.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I know we've talked about this on the radio before, but some of our listeners probably haven't heard it, but the concession stand where it is right now, that's not historically of any value at all, right?
No. There's a lot of things, oddly enough, that aren't historic to the Panada that feels like it is. The ticket booth when you first walked into the vestibule is not historic, but it feels like it is. Originally, the Panada had no concessions in the lobby. It was just an open space. That's what we're trying to get back to, that feel of that, and to provide us with more of a gathering space outside of the aisles and the front of the theater, which happens on the large events like Banff. I'm going to echo what Hannah said about SHPO. They've given us great feedback already. And, you know, one thing I was interested to find out is that not only just in our area, but in the state of Idaho, the Panada is a real rare gem. It's one of the few theaters that haven't been really messed with in a lot of years. There's been a few things added, concession stands, a ticket booth, whatever, but it pretty much stands like it did in 1927, which is unique for the area, which SHPO was pretty insistent that we get involved with their easement program for that reason. It's a big feather in the cap of SHPO and our area that we've actually stepped into that easement to preserve
to interject something here.
Sandy's chiming in here. Okay, let me turn you up again, Sandy. Go ahead.
There was a concession stand, but it spanned from door to door against that wall where the old fountain is. I remember that because I bought lots of candy from that stand, a lot of root beer as well. Another interesting thing that maybe some of you might remember was that the men's room used to be the cry room. There was a window where the moms with a baby that was making a bunch of noise could go and sit in that little room and look through the window at the screen. It was soundproof, and there was a speaker in there so they could watch the movie while their baby was screaming and not having them interrupt the enjoyment of the other people in the theater. I was sort of sad to see that go when they put that restroom in, but I know that they needed the restroom, so there was not much you could do about it.
Do you remember where the men's restroom was before that?
I think actually that there was.
Well, there's that creek out back.
I think that
that's still the men's bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
The restroom on the left side.
The handicap?
the ladies' room, and I think the men's room was probably where the ladies' room is now.
Interesting. I'd like to ask Hannah something. You know, in 1927, the theater was constructed. Is there a lot of info at the Historical Society prelim to that about discussion is taking place, that there will be a venue built before 1927? It seems like that we have a lot of information starting from 27 on.
Yeah, there is some interesting information about that site, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I feel like before, I would have to check this, but I think before it was, before the theater was built, there was some reference I saw in the paper to cattle being grazed there, which, you know, it was really standpoint. But I would say I have never, I've seen a lot of archival documents and photos of the Panada over the years, but as far as I know, we've never done a comprehensive deep dive into the history. This is something we now have. I just want to give a little pitch for our services. We do have some support at the museum now with really excellent researchers. So what we have been doing for a number of businesses downtown is doing this really deep dive research into the entire history of their site from before their building was there through the entire history of the building. And then we have someone who will put that all together into this comprehensive package with photographs and things. So that is something that we would be happy to help the Panada with if you have any holes, any gaps in your history.
We have a lot of gaps in the history. Yeah.
It'd be sort of interesting to see if there's any photographs during construction.
To see
how it went about.
Yeah, I have not personally seen any, but we did find a lot of construction photos when we did a similar research project for the federal building that McDuff's is now in over on 2nd Avenue.
Hannah, correct me if or Jim might know this too. The construction for the Panada was really quick at the time. I think it was like 6 or 7
lightning
months.
Lightning speed. Yep.
Like the whole thing was built in 6 or 7 months from groundbreaking to shows happening in November of 27 there.
Yeah.
So it had to have been a very intentional picture.
Yeah.
Because it that was pretty quick to get an accidental snapshot.
Well, they had to move the cattle out.
Yeah.
Maybe the cattle that was probably the first 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I want to add on that before I forget is that we are starting a project. Bids have gone out for the restoration or cleaning of the north wall of the interior theater. Is that direction right? Yeah.
Correct.
The north wall of the interior, which is majorly funded by an IHT grant that the board accepted at the end of last year, which put us in the easement with SHPO. But those opportunities for bid are going out to qualified people to handle that historic preservation. And the sick chicken at the front of the theater has been up to debate whether it's going to stay or leave. I know I see Hannah's face here.
Her jaw just draw.
There's people that will chain themselves to the wall.
I would chain myself to the wall.
Rob and I are going to fight our way through that. The sick chicken will stay. Or, you know, Rob and I will be living in the lot or living inside the theater. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out as far as to see projects moving forward at the Panada. A lot of stuff has been talked about in the past, but that we're actually really, really focused on making things happen and making these changes that the community has wanted for 20 years, I think, or more.
So it's just the north wall that will get cleaned, and then I take it the south
KRFY,
wall will be...
88.
Oh, okay, KRFY.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we're running up against the time, Jim.
Okay. South Wall would be on the agenda in the future sometime or another.
Yeah, we would hopefully be able to go through maybe the same grant process with IHT if we successfully perform on the North Wall, and we can replicate that on the South Wall. But the North Wall definitely needs some love.
Cool.
That still leaves the proscenium and the back wall. So to be honest, we're probably going to need some community support on that. On those projects to finish that whole space out.
This is 88.5 KRFY Ponderé, and you are listening to the tail end of the morning show here. We're over time. The north wall, there would have to at some point be an opening, I guess. Somebody's going to have to cut a hole in that. in that wall to get into the little theater.
In the lobby, yes.
If, so in the eventual lobby expansion.
Yes. Yeah, through the old museum space. Yeah. Somewhere in there, we actually have drawings that go back 14 years that Bruce Millard did, showing it going through different areas. So when we get to that point, we're exploring multiple options on that. But yeah, and one thing that SHPO has maintained out of the gate is that, and this is part of historic preservation, that we're not going to replicate the Panada all the way through the rest of the space into the little theater. Mm-hmm. They want it to be very defined, that you're clearly stepping into a unique space, that the Panada lobby is the Panada lobby. If you headed north into the little theater through a potential cutout in the future, that it does not mimic what's happening in the Panada lobby.
So oh, interesting.
It's very unique that that you clearly can see what was historic and what's new.
Huh.
So, yeah, we can't even like match plasters. They don't even want to match color schemes. It's pretty, we have to be pretty unique on what we're doing with that. So, but that's to come.
That's very interesting. I mean, I would not have known that, wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah, but in my mind, I'd love it to look the same all the way through, but I guess for historic preservation, that's a big no-no.
Right. Yeah. You want to, to find the space. Okay. Well, we do have to go. It's time for Bird Note. I do have a track by Lucas Brookbank Brown and Barry Gross queued up that we can start off the next hour with. They're part of the Spokane Is Dead ensemble that's playing on Saturday.
Friday night. Saturday night's Low Bar Corral in the Panda Little Theater. And then tonight is the Sled Hill movie. And then Sunday is the north end of the Long Bridge
or the long end of the North Bridge.
Yeah, something like
start,
that. Something
starring like Jim that. Healy in the first 4th of July parade.
I might be that old, but I'm not in it.
I think we got to call it there unless I'm leaving
thank
anything
you
out, right?
Yeah, thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Looking forward to seeing everybody out there coming to the panel at least once or twice this weekend.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to seeing everybody at the at that movie. That's going to be fun. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Jack, I won't be here next week.
You're gone.
I'm gone.
And I'm talking to POAC, I guess.
Yes. Right?
Okay.
I've asked my substitute, Carrie Logan, if she'd come in.
You know, that's the Oscar preview show. We're going to have you're going to have to leave your predictions. That's going to be that's the last show before the Academy Awards. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that next
week. We can
do
that later.
Sandy, thank you for joining us if you're still there.
You're welcome. And I'm going to warn you, I'm going to start already the Save the Chicken Foundation.
Yes.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. We have that. Is this being recorded
in a
podcast?
This is recorded. Yeah, we've got that.
We've got Sandy
Compton. We've got that on tape. Okay, great. Thanks, Sandy. And everyone else, stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long, starting things off with a track recorded here in the studio by Lucas Brookbank Brown and Barry Gross playing a Grateful Dead cover. Okay.